Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And with you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you and welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral, and a word of welcome also to our families and friends who are following us through the television, internet, or the radio. We gather as God's grateful people. We are thankful for the gift of our faith, the gift of our life, and because of our baptism, we are invited to work, to participate in the works of the Lord's vineyard, as in today's gospel. We ask the Lord to help us to be faithful in our work here on earth. As we prepare ourselves and to celebrate this Eucharist, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for pardon and strength. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do. through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let me now sing of my friend, my friend's song concerning his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spayed it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it he built a watchtower and hewed out a wine press. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but what was yield were wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? Why, when I looked for a crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now, I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to be grazing, break through its wall, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his cherished plant. He looked for judgment, but see, bloodshed. For justice, but hark, the outcry. The word of the Lord.
The vineyard of the Lord is a house of Israel. The vineyard of the Lord is a house of Israel. A vine from Egypt you transplanted. You drove away the nations and planted it. It put forth its foliage to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. The vineyard of the Lord is a house of Israel. Why have you broken down its walls, so that every passerby plucks its fruit? The boar from the forest lays it waste, and the beasts of the field feed upon it. The vineyard of the Lord is a house of Israel. Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from the heaven and see. Take care of this vine and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man whom you yourself make strong. The vineyard of the Lord is a house of Israel. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we will call upon your name. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. If your face shine upon us, then we shall be saved. The vineyard of the Lord is a house of Israel.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
I have chosen you from the world, says the Lord, to go and bear fruit that will remain. Alleluia, alleluia, be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has done this been done. And it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruits." The Gospel of the Lord. This week's gospel lesson is a powerful, but I think also sobering message about how we as individuals can sometimes stubbornly delude ourselves into thinking that our own self-centered choices are not only the best choices, but that these choices are better than God's choices. And we also justify these choices with our own logic. As we just heard, the gospel today presents us with the parable of the vineyard. And this parable appears in all three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And as we heard, the landowner plants a vineyard and then entrusts the vineyard to tenants. In other words, he leases it to them. And once the crop begins to grow and matures and becomes rich with possibilities and ripe for harvesting, these tenants, these lessees, refuse to share these gifts. They refuse to share the produce, the fruits, with the landowner, who, I might add, is rightfully due his share of the crop. Now, it doesn't say, but I'm sure that there was some type of lease agreement between the landowner and the tenants. So what do these tenants do? They abuse their relationship with the owner. They ask, well, why would they do this? Because they become locked into themselves. They become obsessed with their own security. They become obsessed with the defense of what they consider to be theirs. In this parable, we know Jesus is really speaking to the leaders of the Jewish faith who had abused their own authority. So again, back to the parable, what did the tenants do? Well, we heard these tenants beat and murder two separate delegations sent by the owner. And yes, finally, they even murder the owner's son. So we have to ask ourselves, what type of minds could possibly delude themselves into thinking that by killing the son, they would be able to actually take possession of the vineyard for themselves? And we know the end of the story. Instead, the landowner destroys them, and then he entrusts the vineyard to others. In the end, the owner of the vineyard will have nothing to do with them. But their own greed becomes their undoing. As mentioned before, Jesus was addressing the chief priests and the Pharisees. However, this point made by Jesus was also meant for all of us. Because, my friends, we're all invited to work in the Lord's vineyard. But you see, the Lord never forces us to do so. He only invites, and it's up to us to accept the invitation with an open heart. You see, if someone doesn't want to work, or they only want to work under their own set of rules, their own conditions, then they have the free will to do so. So going back to the gospel again, the parable explains how a group of men wanted to work only according to their own set of rules. They would be the ones who would decide how the crop would be used, or who would profit from this crop. So I know when I read this over and over again, and I'm sure you ask yourselves, how could they be so stupid? How could they possibly think, you know, if we kill the heir, then he'll have to put us in his son's place? What kind of madness is this? Well, maybe at first glance, I think it's real easy to criticize the tenants in this story when we do it from a comfortable, safe distance. In other words, looking outside, looking in. But Jesus is pointing out a real danger for all of us here, not just the chief priests and leaders. And that point is that sometimes because of our zeal to accomplish something or see it through to its final destination, to an ending, we can sometimes become blind to the actual reality surrounding us. We can sometimes only see the way we imagine it for ourselves. In other words, my will be done. My will be done in the way in which I have decided. Whether or not that way is the right way. These tenants in their own minds thought their actions were very logical and very justified. And if I use a little bit of my imagination here, in their own minds, they thought it was totally unjust for the owner to take a portion of the harvest. Why? Because he didn't do any work. As a matter of fact, he didn't work at all. He left. So they thought, we must resist. We must resist to make a point. And in their mind, it was all logical. In their self-centered view of this situation, it was logical and it was reasonable. But their view of the whole situation was lacking. They were not the only ones who had to live from the fruit of the vineyard. You see, and everything does not depend on them. Again, they were locked into their own needs and only their own needs, and became blind to the reality of the owner of the vineyard and the others who were or might be involved. So how does this relate to us? Well, really, all of us at times are tempted in our own vineyard or endeavors to push forward our own will, to push forward our own agenda instead of listening to Jesus's will. And in large examples, sometimes we can see that in the lives of those around us. When someone goes against the advice of maybe parents or loved ones and gets involved with the wrong crowd, and maybe there's some substance abuse involved, knowing it isn't the right way, pushing their own will forward, or the insistence by someone on having the right to dispose of one's own body by aborting a child. These are all large and more obvious situations, but when you really think about it, we're all tempted to push our own way in smaller, everyday ways, ways that are more subtle, but nevertheless are present. And if we do this enough times, they become habitual behaviors. They become part of us. And let's follow this mindset all the way through, of that self-centered, only me attitude, that instead of us saying to God, thy will be done, in essence, God sadly has to tell us, no, your will be done by your own choice. You do not want to live for my kingdom. You have free will to make your own choices. But choices that could lead to a very similar ending as in today's gospel passage, where it is stated, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. What a sad day that would be for us. It would be sad because it would be actually by our own choice. But the opposite of this very depressing ending is also presented to us today in the second reading, in that small excerpt from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I'll just paraphrase here a little bit. If we do not lose sight of God, but place everything before Him, placing all of our concerns and all of our perceived worries, and listen with our hearts open to Him, He will fill us with His true calming peace. A peace that the world and all of its trappings can never offer. A peace that quenches the unquenchable thirst. So, my friends, as we continue with our Eucharistic celebration this morning, let us be especially conscious of the words we recite in the Our Father, Thy will be done. May God bless you and give you a listening heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us have no anxiety but trust in God to hear these prayers that we offer today.
For Pope Francis and all church leaders who show us how to cultivate in the church a fruitful harvest for the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an end to all arms sales around the globe as a means to bring about a peaceful and just world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the victims, those injured, families and loved ones affected by the horrific tragedy in Las Vegas, that the God of great love may bring peace and solace to their hearts and repose for those who lost their lives unjustly. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a growing respect for the dignity of each and every human life, especially those at life's margins, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the safety of all members of our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Delia Farias, Ruben Moreno, Jose Quema Garcia, Calvin Lawson, and Father Brendan Ash, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. O loving God, you have entrusted us in this vineyard to do your work on earth. Grant us the diligence and grace to work faithfully until the end. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Deacon.
You put the glass on the candles, otherwise they will melt. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good of all his holy church.
Accept, O Lord, we pray, the sacrifices instituted by your commands and through the sacred mysteries which we celebrate with dutiful service, graciously complete the sanctifying work by which you are pleased to redeem us through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you love in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours, that by sinning we are lost in this obedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks, as in exaltation we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops with all the clergy and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.